It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18+. Welcome to Three in the Key.
Ron checking the clock as he has a box in front of him.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Marv, I think I found LeBron James' new free throw routine right here. Spin the ball a couple times.
With your hosts, Elias Elzain, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzain alongside Dave Tripp.
Woo!
Oh my God, he's here.
He's back.
Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
Whoa, it's a packed house.
Loving it.
I hope it's 3 for 3. Pull out a hat.
What's going on, man?
Okay.
It's good to have you guys back. Holy cow, man.
Yeah, you guys, that episode was bad.
We struggled, man. I would look to my left. Look to my left, look for Will. Yeah, no one there.
You guys held it down pretty good.
Hey, you did.
I was trying to get Dave's opinion. I'm like, oh man, he's not there. Will's, I'm like, okay, fool out again. Let's do it. I was tired of listening to him. But
I
it's
know.
Okay.
That got weird, man.
That was your first time, though. That was your first time doing a one on one, which is good. We've all done it.
Yeah.
A single. Even the Dave and Will.
The Dave and Will episode is like 30 minutes long. A lot of, you like stuff?
Yeah, bro.
Stuff rocks.
Doesn't it? Really
I
good.
Like stuff a lot.
Yeah, we're pretty sweet.
We told some jokes.
We went on for a minute.
Some about basketball.
Yeah.
We're back. Playoffs.
Yeah, better than ever.
Second round in full swing. Full games today here on Sunday. Cleveland-Toronto probably ending that one in 4. Cleveland.
Yeah.
Boston-Washington. Game 4. That's 2-1 in favor of Boston. And then San Antonio-Houston, the late game. San Antonio up 2-1 after getting spanked in the first game. A big blow, but they've responded well, winning 2 in a row. And Aldridge had a big game, 3.
That's the first time he showed up, I think, all playoffs, really.
Exactly.
He didn't do much in Memphis either.
Yeah, he was getting bullied by those big guys.
Now with missing Parker, and then he's kind of has to step up. And I think he did. I mean, we were all worried a little bit. Like, okay, it looks like the Rockets are going to take this.
After that first game, man.
Oh my goodness, they smoked them. And Pop can adjust. Obviously, he knows what's up. And
he's won a few championships, I think.
A few games here and there in the playoffs, so he knows how to deal with this. D'Antoni obviously does not. So I wonder. It's going to be interesting now with how D'Antoni answers back to Popovich. So it should be interesting tonight.
And we mentioned last week that the D'Antoni mean Fuad, the D'Antoni and Popovich battles, and I mentioned personally, Phoenix got past San Antonio in 2010, but it was Alvin Gentry, the head coach of Phoenix.
Right.
It wasn't D'Antoni. D'Antoni's 0-4. Against Popovich in the playoffs. So he's looking to get over that hump and make it 1-4 instead of 0-5. We'll see 2-1. I still like San Antonio in that series to move on. But it's been interesting. And Harden, I don't know if you guys caught this, but he was on the ground on the floor at one point, and Nene and I think it was Trevor Ariza that were standing next to him.
Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, one of those guys.
I know it was Nene for sure. It was either Eric Gordon or Trevor Ariza, the other guy. And Nene tried to help him up like 3 times and actually grabbed his hand at one point, and Harden let go of him and got up.
Yeah,
got up himself. I don't know what the problem was there. I don't get it. They were there for you. The star player helping you up off the ground.
Yeah, no, it seemed like there was some beef there, I think.
Someone took someone else's Cheerios at breakfast that morning.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, I don't know why he was overreacting like that. I don't know why he would just take the hand up and get up. All eyes are on you guys, right? Like, so we're going to take something so small like that and blow it up.
Especially like a veteran like Nene too, right? Like, that's a guy that you want to be helping up your star players.
Yeah, that's the guy. He's
surprise.
Your real vet. Yeah. So it's interesting. But I don't know. It's funny because I'm taking a look at this series more interesting and the Celtics and Wizards just because the other two series.
Yeah, they're over.
Like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors last night struggled shooting Curry and Thompson, right?
But did not struggle.
Kevin Durant was huge. He had 38 and 13, and he basically won them that game. He was 4-for-8 from downtown, and he was just spotting up. They were going at Gobert hard on the switch, and he would just rise up and shoot over him. Utah playing without George Hill for the second consecutive game. He is out with a toe injury, so maybe missing him a little bit because he's played in the playoffs pretty much his whole career.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate we actually haven't seen the Jazz at full strength in this playoff because they
the whole season
the whole yeah they've just been banged up the entire time, and I really think that. I'm not going to say they could push the Warriors to seven games or anything, but it would be a different series if Gobert had come in healthy and all these guys were playing at full form.
Yeah, well, Gobert had 21 and 15. He had a big game, Hayward had 29, but it is true. Look, they adjusted and they beat the Clippers in seven on the road, winning three games on the road in that series. They've only won one game at home so far in the playoffs. So, and maybe the Warriors close them out tomorrow, Monday night. We'll see how it goes in game four. Will they come out with better shooting, Golden State? If that happens, then good night, Utah. And does Gordon Hayward leave? That's going to be the question. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, they had a solid team around him. George Hill is also a free agent, so they want to build with this core. We saw them, you know, not be healthy all season long pretty much, and they've adjusted. They've played with the bodies they've had. They won. They won 51 games. They've gone to the second round, and they're probably playing the team that's gonna everyone has going to the finals, right? So
exactly.
You know what? A lot of people think that he'll leave and go to Boston, right, Gordon Hayward?
Brad Stevens.
But do you really think he's in a lot better position in Boston than he is in Utah? You look at the group they have around him. There's so much youth and so much versatility in Utah. I don't know. It might be a better position to stay in Utah and win a championship there. I mean, you got to play through the West. But how many teams are that young and that deep?
Exactly.
You may be making a mistake by leaving that group.
For him, looking forward into the future with that team, like you guys just mentioned, like they haven't been at full strength the entire season.
Uh-huh.
And they've won 51 games, got past the Clippers, basically potentially ended the Clippers as we know them.
Yeah.
You know, this young core. So if he leaves, it'd be a tough thing to, as a basketball fan, to see that break up, because I want to see these guys stay together for the next four or 5 years.
You know, competition in the West.
Utah's so good, though. They could actually swallow a Hayward loss and still be a really competitive team. Like Rodney Hood's a guy that's ready to fill that slot right now.
If he
can stay healthy, right?
Yeah, he wouldn't be as good as Gordon Hayward, but
you just change your game plan a little bit. Then your franchise guy becomes Rudy Gobert, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And you go from there. But this is a team that's so good that they've got players that aren't even starting. You know what I mean? They've got players that be starting in just about every other market, and it's.
Yeah. Joe Johnson has been big. That's why they brought him in for, right? Veteran
leadership,
leader. He's hit a lot of ISO. Joe has hit a lot of game winners, and he hit a few in that first series. Big shots in general. He struggled last night, only 7 points on 3-for-12 shooting. But he's one guy. I think he's on a 2-year deal, so he'd have next year, and after that, probably. You know, join a straight-up contender for that championship ring if he's looking to chase
who
one.
Does Hayward have a better chance on the Celtics or the Jazz? That's the number one. He has to take it. Can I win with both these teams or can I just one?
My only thing, I would say that the Celtics have an easier path to the final.
Right.
But that's it. If you want to win a championship, you got to beat the best team in the West anyway. So I would say that he has a very similar chance.
Yeah.
Difference is Utah has absolutely elite rim protection. Boston has none.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah can only jump so high.
That's exactly the problem.
That's one thing about Isaiah Thomas, though, man. A couple times I've said, you can't rely on a guy under 6 feet to get you.
I know.
This guy is...
He's a killer.
...been unbelievable.
He is a killer.
53 points.
Ugh.
Overtime. Since Allen Iverson, no one has done that. Man, that's insane.
And like, how is this guy? A small guy, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I had 55.
And exactly.
But Isaiah Thomas, think about it. Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, you add a Gordon Hayward. You know, you have an Avery Bradley, a defender.
Marcus Smart
or Jay Crowder. I don't know, depending on
Stevens
the...
Stevens knows how to use Hayward.
Kelly Olynyk taking out shoulders.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
They would have to play, you said, the easier path in the East. The only competition is pretty much LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
In the West, you know, you'll run into the Warriors. What about the Jazz? Because they had a tough first round against the Clippers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're right. The Clippers, depending on if they keep their guys, Doc Rivers has said many times since they've been eliminated that they want to re-sign these guys and build around them because they built that legacy. They're the Clippers.
Yeah, it's working out really well.
you know, just a few, you know, maybe shots here or there and it would have been a different story. Nope, not even.
No.
At least DeAndre stayed.
Yeah, if
it's gonna be funny if those both of them leave and DeAndre stays.
I know because he could have gotten the. He was a maverick essentially.
He was a maverick, and then they trapped him in his house in Houston or something like that, and forced him to sign a contract. But then, yeah, you get to play. You have to play the Spurs or the Rockets, like Utah. There's way more competition in the West, and we know that. It's going to be interesting, but I do see Boston doing something, adding another star player. Because even if they go to the East Final, can they beat Cleveland? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think whether Hayward joins them or not, I think Boston's making a move for a star in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe trade away that pick, you know? Who knows?
If it's a first overall pick, would you trade it?
That's a hard question to answer, I suppose. They'd have to dump some of that depth, too. How do you bring in a Jimmy Butler and still play all these players? Where's Jay Crowder line up? Like, I mean,
I think he'd be the first one to go.
I think so?
Yeah, probably. Right. It seems like
him or maybe Marcus Smart. I don't know. I think, honestly, their second best player after Isaiah Thomas is Avery Bradley.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
He's a player.
Al Horford's been good, but like he does all those little things for them.
I think Marcus
Smart's
their best player after Isaiah Thomas, to be honest. I think he's the defensive matchup guy.
I think Avery Bradley's has a way better offensive game than Marcus Smart, and he's developing into a really good two-way player. And he took it personal in that first series. He's like, Jimmy Butler said
Avery
a few
Bradley?
Things.
Yeah.
And then he's I had to show him now he better respect my game.
Yeah.
And he led them in rebounding this season.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Like 6 foot tall guard.
Yeah.
Like.
So.
Okay, so talking about the Celtics, Kelly Oubre, suspended. Kelly and Oubre suspended for game 4.
Unbelievable.
No. Just Oubre suspended.
Oh, just Oubre?
Just Oubre. Yeah, I'm pretty sure just Oubre. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's Kelly, two Kelly O's. Yeah, it's a little confusing. Two Kelly O's.
Two Kellys fought, and it wasn't in a Forever 21 or whatever.
And no R. Kelly was involved.
Yeah, no R. Kelly. So, they're both Kelly O's.
So how do we feel about that play? Or I think, how is Oubre not...
I think Olynyk has a history, obviously.
Yeah, didn't he injure Kevin Love?
He pulled out a couple shoulders. Yeah. He's got a history. So the players, like the guys in the league, are looking at him like, yo, you better not touch me. So with Oubre, you can see his reaction that, you know, he gets a little emotional, like, yo, how you can't, don't do this to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I get that. But Olynyk on this specific play, it just looked like a very hard screen.
Yep.
Not a dirty play, a hard screen.
Right.
But I think it was the fact that he has that history. Oubre was like, no, I can't let this guy.
He got called on the screen, though.
Yeah, he got called for an offensive foul.
Yeah. That call was made,
Oubre said that Olynyk has hit him a few times or did a few dirty plays to him. So he's like, I couldn't take it anymore, basically.
Well, it's the playoffs, Kelly, and that's what it's like to play in the playoffs. Exactly. Get used to it. Like, sorry. I mean, if the refs don't think it's suspendable, they review everything. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Just get over it.
I just think that they were up so much at that point. I don't think Oubre needs to charge at him.
Oh,
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. No swing. I think that's what we have to do. Don't swing at guys. Just charge at people.
Yeah, just full body.
Just chest bump them.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. But yeah, no, I think the Washington was up so much at that point. Oubre doesn't need to do something like that. It seemed like that was a hard charge by Olynyk because...
Yeah. Part of the game to hold your emotions at the so what he's been doing that go tell the ref time he does
ref
it yo watch this guy exactly
you don't need
watch
to,
him he's
maybe,
doing this watch him
he makes it seem like
it,
he makes it seem like Olynyk's guarding him the whole game too you
right,
guys don't
exactly.
even play the same position
high speed,
like stop running through the paint if you don't want to get clipped I mean like man that's a part of the game
exactly
it's funny but yeah so Oubre gets the suspension does that hurt Washington now.
Yeah.
a little bit, actually.
They
he's
don't
not
have
bad.
Depth. They don't have depth in forward.
No bench at all.
Yeah.
It hurts them,
other
but
than Bogdanovich, who
Markieff
comes off their bench.
Been
and
been
he,
hurt all playoff.
They haven't
but
got much
is
from
it Markieff or is it Marcus? Which one of those two guys is
playing?
We don't know that.
Musical chairs.
Yeah, like a Mary-Kate and Ashley situation.
One of them has to, like... not have a beard. That way we can be like, yeah, clear exactly. on this, you know?
There needs to be some sort of rule.
Or like a lightning bolt hair thing, you know? Like
yeah. to... You think if Marcus showed up to the locker room, they wouldn't, even his teammates or coaching staff wouldn't probably be able to tell, right?
It's like an episode of Full House out there. Yeah. I can't figure out what's going on.
For a couple of years, I just assumed he played on both teams.
Yeah. You're just going back
and
forth.
And when they played against each other, you're like, whoa, what is he doing?
Yeah, it's Bo Jackson.
Yeah, the play against the beer.
But it does hurt them a bit. At first, I was going to say no, but yeah, you're right. There is no depth for the Wizards. They have no bench at all. And he hasn't been bad in the postseason, Kelly Oubre.
I don't think it's make or break for the Wizards.
No, I don't think
so. He's not Bradley Beal. He's not John Wall. He's not Marcin Gortat. He's not.
But it would be better. It would be better if he played.
Of course, 100%.
He can make a couple of shots,
exactly.
Right? So you're gonna miss that. Brandon Jennings has to step it up a bit.
Exactly.
Bogdanovich has to take his game to a little bit of another level. They gotta try to get something out of Gortat.
That means because
you know John Wall and Bradley Beal are gonna be there.
Yeah. That means Bogdanovich has to play out of position.
Yeah.
And he's horrendous defensively, so it's a bad matchup for them going forward, and they need to win this next game. So it was a terrible.
This series has saved the NBA playoffs for me a little bit because just the toughness and like I mean even though it was a blowout, it was still like an entertaining game. Mm-hmm. And
because it got chippy.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah,
I love
that.
That's like old school basketball.
Exactly.
You need that beef. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And like for watching the Cavs blowing them out and the Wizards, I mean the Warriors blowing them out, and then Spurs and Rockets have been pretty good, not to say the least, but like this is the series I've been more interested in
because the physical. But they came in hating each other already. Remember, I think it was
black
Washington.
Suits?
Yeah, that they wore black suits to the game one time. So coming in, and then
like
they both said it's not gonna get physical or whatnot, and it has. And you know this one from tip off. There's gonna be a little something to prove. Boston got slapped in game three, so they're gonna come out and try to. Yeah. You know, set the pace, set the tone. And, you know, Washington wants to win this for Oubre, who basically took one for the team, I guess. And they're going to come out.
Can't see my eyes rolling on the podcast. Yeah, yeah. Really took one for the team there. Good for you.
Yeah. But not a smart decision, obviously. But you know what I mean.
Player.
Honestly, I didn't think he was going to get suspended. I knew he was going to get ejected out of the game. I wasn't expecting a suspension. But I think the NBA wants to crack. The NBA wants to crack down on that, right? And Kiki Vandeweghe said that it's because he got up and charged at him.
What do you think about Durant calling the NBA soft the other night?
Well, he said people call the NBA soft because of what happened between him and Gobert when they pushed each other.
Yeah.
They both thought it was like just a play on, but the referees, I guess, you know, blew the whistle
yeah,
and then charged him with a flagrant. But Gobert missed both free throws.
I know, he did.
Yeah.
And they would have lost by 102-93.
Man, yeah.
9 points instead of digits.
It's true. Were they gonna cover or whatever?
It's a real building block for the next one. Game four. Look out, baby.
It's funny. He has a point. I would say play on. Like, Gobert was trying to fight for position. Durant reacted. Play, keep playing.
But
I'm more old school, though. I like the physical stuff. But today's NBA, obviously, they cracked down on it.
That was kind of a, I don't know, that move by Durant to do that shove like that was kind of whack. I don't know. It was just,
I think Durant is clearly trying to embrace the villain role.
He really is.
Yes.
Clearly trying
so
to embrace
so
it.
So transparent. Like, how do you feel Dave about Durant right now, Dave?
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit. They're provoking me. I don't know. I think Durant is, I don't like this new approach for his career where he's Mr. Bad Guy. I like being hated. Well, you loved being loved when you were the MVP a few years ago, and you loved telling people how much cooler you were than LeBron. And, I'd never ditch OKC to chase for a championship. We're going to win one here for us. That's how we do.
Yeah.
No, you don't, okay? Now, you did the exact same damn thing, and now you're, this league's soft, and get off the floor, mascot.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my house. No, KD, come on. Come on, man.
Yeah, so
show some class.
Are you still KD over LeBron as far as like kind of whining and politicking?
You know what? I think LeBron, I think he's jumped ahead of KD in my books, being KD's at the bottom. He's at the bottom.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, no, I don't like him right now.
Is that because you're so much into Westbrook? Is that part of it?
I do like Westbrook. He's quite good.
Well, LeBron has had his fair share of antics this series.
Oh, this series? So we'll
what I don't like about this round is that It's like, yes, I understand that these series are like foregone conclusions, but it almost feels like both LeBron and KD and Draymond, to a lesser extent, are kind of rubbing the other team's faces into it. You know what I mean? And it's just not classy. So for Draymond to be silencing the crowd in Utah, let's be real. Utah, it's your first dance, okay? Like, let them enjoy it. They're not going to win a championship. You don't need to be a dick about it.
Exactly,
I mean, just maybe, you know,
to, maybe
graciously.
To the other team, but not the fans.
That's
the
what I'm saying. I'm
going to
cuss out the mascot.
That's what the fans are there for, right?
Exactly.
To chirp you, to get into it, to get behind their team.
I think it's part of, I don't know, it's tough. Like, I want to say, like, if you don't want them to do it, then they beat them. You know what I mean? Like, it's that.
I get where you're coming from. I think it's a little over the top.
Yeah, I know.
And it's what you're saying. It's transparent. Like, I can see what this guy's trying to do.
Maybe they're just like heel, like, wrestlers, right? They're just bad guy wrestlers just trying to get to the crowd. The
wrestling's
like
scripted. And I wish KD was scripted. He'd say more clever things.
I mean, is it scripted? What do you mean?
Sorry, man.
Oh, my God. We're talking Olympic wrestling.
You just broke something.
What do you mean?
Will didn't need to know that right now, Dave. Okay, come on.
That was weird.
But, on the air.
What'd you say? I mean, everyone scripted the Warriors and Cavs to be there anyway, so in a way it is, you know? So is offense over defense right now? Is that why? Or is it just competitiveness? What's the reason for these blowouts over these other teams?
That's a good question. I think the Cleveland and Golden State are just superior to the
They're just way better equipped than...
Because the other series, you see a blowout in one. Like, Houston and San Antonio, it was a blowout in game one for Houston. The two other games have been close, you know, or closer. Especially game three, you know, with San Antonio winning. And then Washington and Boston, same thing. That game that went to overtime in game two and Isaiah going off for 53, that was a close game. Washington had a chance to win it on the road. They could technically be up 2-1. But going back home for game three, they came out hot out of the gate and they blew them out. So it's just one blow. It's here and there. But Cleveland and Golden State are just superior. You know, when you have a guy like LeBron and then a team like Golden State full of shooters and obviously two out of the top three players in the NBA on one squad.
Yeah.
You're going to blow your competition out. But Golden State hasn't been blowing out. Like, they've been leading and killing them, but they only won by 11. An 11-point is not a blowout. I mean, at points, obviously, it wasn't that close.
True.
But, I mean,
obviously, the Cavs have been killing teams.
We'll get to the Cavs and Warriors here shortly. Cavs and Raptors, excuse me.
We can skip over that one if you want.
It seems like the Warriors had never... It's never worrisome, you know? It just seems like they got it in the bag.
Yeah, they got it in control. That's why we just want to fast forward. Dave said this off the air. It's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be the Warriors and the Cavs.
Great, well, it's great and it's a shame because, like, I'm going to be watching games kind of like, the whole playoff long until it gets to the finals, and then I'm going to be on the edge of my seat for a week.
It hurts the playoffs in general.
It's kind of like
you're
going to
be on the edge of your seat on Tuesday for the draft lottery.
Boom, boom. I do like that. How many 16th. Wildcats will go? Speaking of Wildcats, another. I'm not even making this up.
another
five-star Kevin Knox signs
Why
up.
Why did I take up the draft?
Congratulations,
six,
Dave.
Five stars. Yeah, you're
this
welcome.
This is Villanova That's Wildcats. Weird.
No, Arizona, baby. No,
Kentucky.
That's my Kentucky Cal. Give the guy a medal.
Since Will brought up, let's quickly
chat
about. He
could fix the Nets. That's how good this guy is. Anyway, move on.
He's six star to the Nets. Yeah.
He's gonna just start recruiting high school players to come play professionally away.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Let's quickly touch on the Raps and Cavs. What's the biggest takeaway for you guys so far? For the Raptors side of things, like, is this team that they've built, that they went out and got at the deadline, two guys in Ibaka and Tucker. Tucker has been, you know, other than I think it was game one, he's been poor in this series. But Ibaka has been probably the most consistent player for the Raptors in
the playoffs.
So what's wrong with Toronto is my question. Is it just because I mentioned before Cleveland is just superior? But this is the best team they built on paper. And in the East, on paper, this is the team that could give them the most competition or the biggest challenge. Bringing in two guys that play defense and, you know, stretch the floor and can hit those threes in Ibaka and Tucker.
I think Ty Lue put it best. And it's kind of something I said a couple weeks ago.
Being the head coach of the Cavs is the hardest thing to do in the world.
Is he the head coach? I thought it was LeBron. But I mean, he said, like, for guys like Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Reggie Miller, et cetera, they were, you know, Hall of Fame level players. These guys were could have won champ, but they couldn't win their championships because Michael Jordan was in the way. And I said, the one thing I look at LeBron that I'm like, it's at where Michael Jordan was. When I look at LeBron James, I'm like, I can't see a way any team is going to beat him or whatever team he's on 4 out of 7 games in a series. And that's just, what, like, it doesn't really matter what these teams do in the East unless you bring together, you know, you have DeRozan and Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward, Paul. If you put all those guys on one team, perhaps.
They still have a handful. Yeah. They still have their hands full.
Exactly. Trying to stop LeBron, I don't know if they can
LeBron
do
LeBron can only lose in the finals.
Exactly. When he gets to the finals.
Hey, you know, he's lost 4 times there, so.
That's kind of my point. That's kind of my point about what you were saying earlier. How does anyone keep up with these two teams? Well, the best players in the world are on these two franchises. The three best players are on either Cleveland or the Warriors. So how can anyone catch up? You're going to need somebody to become one of the next three best players.
Exactly.
And have them drafted onto the Raptors or something for us to have any success in the next five or six years.
Yeah.
It's going to be that next wave.
The Raptors seem, Will, thoughts on that?
I was just going to say that it's just also part of it. It just seems like mentally... For LaRozan.
Wow.
That's a new word. Couple name.
Nice, nice. Okay, so DeMar DeRozan to the Cavaliers next season? Is that what you're saying?
For Lowry and DeRozan.
Brangelina?
In their heads, it feels like just when it comes to playoff time versus the Cavs, they just don't perform. And it's crazy. And now we're getting to the point where we're talking about, should we get rid of Lowry? Should they go and let him go? Like, is it time for that? That's what's crazy about this, is that you're willing to give up what you've built just because of this one team.
Yeah, one team, one guy.
You're having good seasons, and you're making the playoffs, and you're getting into next round, and last year, obviously, the Eastern Final, but, like, not enough.
Hey, the Clippers are asking the same questions right now. Is this the team that we can win with, or do we have to blow it up and rebuild? And I don't know.
Do a sign and trade Kyle Lowry for Chris Paul. You know what I mean? That'd be good for Toronto.
I think we will take that. Yes, please.
It's true.
But they're going to have a lot of questions surrounding them. Yeah, do they re-sign Lowry to a max and keep those guys that they brought in at the deadline and go for it again? You know, if they played a full year together, a full season, would that make a difference? Than a half a year?
I'm sure it would, but Lowry
didn't really... He played like 2-3 games at the end of the regular season with those guys, and then the first round of the playoffs, and now he's injured again. He's only played 2 games with them. Will that make a difference, or do you let Lowry walk? I mean, I think for sure you have to let Patterson walk. He can't even make a shot, an open shot, by the way, to save
their
his life.
Their bench had 9 points. 9 points off
the
bench.
That Sullinger pickup they had last season was really good, too.
It's true.
No, I just think,
well, they turned him into P.J. Tucker. So,
Are they able to sign Tucker, Lowry, and Ibaka? Like all three of those guys?
Yeah, they have bird rights.
They have bird rights, but so are you willing to pay the luxury tax for a team that's probably not going to win a title?
Canadian teams, right? That's the rule?
We have to pay them in Canadian Tire money.
Yeah, that's sweet.
But, like, Patterson, how do you come off the bench and play 20 minutes, not take a shot, and have one rebound, one assist, one block, and be a minus 19?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Like, not even one shot, Patterson.
In 20 minutes.
MVP.
Not one shot. And then in game 2, where he started, he made one shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Went for 3.
That's just efficiency.
And then he's made 2 shots in this whole series.
Oh, boy.
And this guy, they're fine. DeRozan has done a good job to find his teammates out of the double team. Yeah. I find they haven't been making shots, and you have to make shots to try to be in games like that. When DeRozan is getting doubled and not having a good game, those role players like Carroll, like Patterson, like Tucker, they have to make those open shots, and they're not. Open shots.
11% three-point shooting. That's not going to get it done against the Cavs.
It's not going to get it done against anyone. The Washington Generals would beat you.
Against us, man.
Yeah. The Washington Generals could turn that one over.
Exactly.
I mean, look out.
Yeah, he was spinning the ball, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was
just you can't bring a ladder in.
But
take it. He's
quickly on that. Thoughts of LeBron spinning the ball in Ibaka's face. Disrespectful, yes or no? Yes or no?
I think it's
Fouad,
sorry.
Go ahead.
I think it's disrespectful, but in like a, I thought it was funny, man. Like clearly, these Raptors cannot do anything to stop this dude.
I thought I was more offended by LeBron pulling off Powell.
That one was definitely
I thought that should be a foul.
Offensive.
You just pulled his jersey out, man.
Yeah. I feel like
whistle the guy.
And Powell's just a kid. He's just like, oh, this is LeBron James.
Yeah.
My jersey. Like, I'm not gonna.
Does he want my jersey?
Yeah,
you want this?
Yeah, I'll fight.
UCLA.
That's the Cleveland equivalent of pushing the mascot off the floor, right there. Just some disrespect.
No, I
didn't like that.
That stuff is kind of lame, but like I don't mind the spinning. It's not too bad, I think. But
Dave,
I think it's disrespectful for sure.
Yep.
I don't think it's. Again, I thought it was pretty funny. I think it's just a statement of how embarrassing the series has been for the Raptors.
With them, not even
for
trying.
Sure.
Exactly. Really. Oh,
to me, it's disrespectful.
It's like you said, though. Respond, right? It's up to the Raptors to respond to this, and they can't, especially not with Lowry missing. I mean. And playing the way he's been playing. So it's
I found it disrespectful. Even Chauncey Billups went out and said, he's like, yo, he spun that ball in my face. I'm taking a flagrant one there.
Bingo. Yeah.
Someone does that
send
to me
message,
and pick
man.
Up basketball, yeah. I'm swinging at you.
I would
I don't
love
care.
For somebody to send a message to LeBron and just remind him, hey, guess
but
what?
He's
like, you're the best, but
you're
still human, man.
You're going to get suspended 10
and...
games for that, though.
Yeah. He'll get you. Have the Draymond. They won the championship.
He got Draymond suspended for calling him a swear word or something.
That's the thing. The Raptors need a guy like Chris Neal. You know.
Yeah, a little bit.
You need a guy like that to be.
But
like,
that
hey,
was
go,
like
a, go
Ibaka. Ibaka elbowed him in like a, in the game two. I'm not saying to go out and hurt the guy, but you know you got to be physical with him.
Exactly.
You got to disrupt him. You can't stop him.
PJ
you
Tucker
try to
should
slow
be
him
roughing
down,
him up on his way
but,
in.
That's the issue there. I mean, it doesn't look like the Cleveland's going to even lose a game before the NBA Finals. Let us know your thoughts on all the series so far in the second round of the NBA playoffs. Your thoughts on LeBron spinning the ball. Was it disrespectful? Maybe it wasn't. Was it just part of the game? He said he was like it was just a mental thing that he did.
He's thinking about margaritas with Drake after the game.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was thinking of.
That was pretty funny.
The email address, the3nikki@gmail.com. On Facebook, the3nikki. Follow on Twitter @BasketPod. On Instagram, the3nikki. You can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the almighty Baller Radio Network and Dash Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. And check out our website, 3inthekey.ca. We'll be back with more basketball, of course.
Would you buy your kids a pair of shoes for $500? From an unproven NBA player out the box?
No. Any other questions?
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Hello and welcome back inside the key. Elias Elzain alongside Dave Tripp, Will Macklin, and Fouad Ahad.
Woo.
And then Will now has a question period for us, right, Will?
Yes, sir. Let's go. All right. First question. Would you guys buy $500 shoes from Lonzo Ball? This was really, really good.
I mean, you probably just heard Mike Brown's reaction.
Yeah, and I think he just passed on them. And then
hard to believe.
But overall, these shoes were not liked on Twitter. Did you guys like think they were okay? Obviously, they're not $500 worth, but
I'm more of a the Zo2 sandals, which have also come out this week.
Ooh, the slides, yeah.
Real nice. The signature slides, that's what it's called.
Are
them.
You serious?
Yeah.
I haven't even seen those.
Can you, you can play.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty
play,
dope, man.
You can play. They're used for basketball as well, right?
It's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you were saying off air, I feel like these shoes, I think if they weren't $500, they're like $100 and they had a Nike logo, I think they'd be nice.
Yeah, people would be buying them off. Yeah, no question. If there was a Jordan logo anywhere on these shoes, people would be lining up.
Well, good
for
luck
them.
Buying a pair of Jordans for $100 for starters. Like, I mean, they'd be the cheapest
forget
Jordans
the 100.
On the market.
It'd be like $295 or something like that. But that's the crazy part of it. Like, I said off the air, I get the trying to be independent part of it and all that stuff. Like, forget these big corporations. Man, $495 for a pair of shoes. Like, they're okay looking shoes.
Yeah.
I would not pay that price.
I wouldn't even pay
$100. And the slides. I mean, the colors are okay and whatnot. The shoes, like Fouad said, or whatever, you know, they're okay.
What do you think the Zo logo?
They're too much. $220 for some slides, man. Lonzo's signature slide. The signature slides by Lonzo Ball. Slides, man.
What slides.
I'm not sure how I feel about the logo either. The Zoe logo is kind of...
Looks like a car emblem.
You think this is like
trashier.
A, it's
true.
You think this is what they're doing until they can get a deal and then they're going to put out other shoes and
I mean,
at a cheaper
price marketing.
Tag?
It's good marketing because you put an outrageous price on, you know, pretty generic looking shoes. Everyone's talking about it.
Sure.
I mean...
But is anyone buying them?
But no.
And the story is 5,000 pairs sold in 4 hours, $2.5 million made in 4 hours. Who knows if it's true or not?
I don't know, that's counting out the cost of making the shoe, right? I'm sure they're worth $18.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But so LeVar's only collecting $480 per shoe. You know, it's not that high of a markup. Yeah. I wonder like how much of a cut he's giving to his son. You know what I mean? Like I'll give you $8 a shoe, Lonzo. You just press them. And I'll collect.
Is he all in with his dad, do you think? Or like he's
yeah,
just like
I think so.
Or does
he
know he
doesn't.
Up?
He says that's what he's been.
But the sideshow.
He's been all of his life. But Steve Alford from UCLA, he said he's like one of the best kids he's ever coached, Lonzo, and he's totally coachable. So you clearly see that he doesn't take his dad's mentality when he's with the team or on the court.
Right.
So that's good to hear.
He seems
obviously
humble for
for the teams that are looking to draft him and are going to have him in the franchise. The problem is honestly the dad who just has a big mouth.
Well,
but
Chino
no
Hills
for the shoes.
Just fired their head coach. And people are saying, "Oh, well, what's going on? Is Lonzo the next or is LeVar the next coach of Chino Hills?" Like how does this happen? How does a team that won a state championship 2 years ago lose a game and they fire their coach? Well, did LeVar have anything to do with this?
Let me think about that. I wonder.
But I'm
next year they'll all be wearing Zoe 2s.
I'm wearing mine.
The kids will have to pay for them to play.
I pass on the shoes and on the slides.
It's a no for me. I see Will wearing the Zoe 2s right now.
Like
you already bought
one.
Walking on air. Hope so.
Yeah, for that price tag.
Yeah,
you can jump 2 feet taller in these shoes. It springs in them.
I mean, Will might get drafted now because he's wearing them.
Yeah.
I'll be a UCLA guy.
Yeah.
Pretty happy.
Oh, my. I wouldn't pay $500 for the shoes from Mike, honestly. Like, forget Back to the Future.
I wouldn't pay.
It must be the shoes.
That's a great movie, by the way.
It was.
Yeah, like
a little Bow Wow, underrated.
We did a whole episode just reviewing basketball movies. Like, on the summer,
not a bad
it's
idea.
A
long
it's
summer,
slower,
yeah.
We should do like a movie, basketball movie episode. Next question: LeBron James said this week that he has nothing else to prove. He's been the best player since he's been in the league, I guess. And he's been playing this way since he was 16. Like,
it's true.
Well, if you have nothing else to prove, retire.
Yeah, how do we feel about this situation?
Retire. How do you, 6 months ago or whatever, how many months ago it was, say you're chasing the ghost in Chicago, you want to be the greatest of all time, and now I have nothing else to prove in the NBA.
Who
you know?
Says that in the middle of a playoff run?
I think he's
I'm 3-4 in the NBA Finals. I have nothing else to prove.
Right. Wait, what do you mean, like, maybe right now in the NBA being the best player? Maybe in that sense of it.
Okay, like he's the best player in the league? Okay, but nothing else to prove.
Yeah, I don't get what he's trying to say.
I don't
really understand what he's trying to say. Because like Elias said, like there have been contradictory comments.
If he has nothing else to prove as being the best player, okay, if that was the comment or how the question was asked. But if he's trying to be like nothing else to prove in the league in general, like his time in the NBA is done, like his career is over, then, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm pretty sure that's not what he's saying, though. I don't think LeBron's going to hang him up at the end of this season.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't even know. I think like LeBron just talks out of the side of his mouth sometimes. He doesn't even think about it. You know what I mean?
He
just says stuff because he's so arrogant. And like that's what that comment is. I got nothing else to prove here. Look at us decimate the Raptors. Look at me embarrass their players on and off the court. Dude,
spinning
just
lefties.
Play. You know? Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
It's hard
so
to
much
say,
of this stuff with him.
We all know the society that we live in nowadays is you know, we're very forgetful of things. And I think I don't know if he's taking advantage of it or if he's fully in it where he's just forgetting the things that he said. Because clearly, people, you know, he says this, people forget. Oh, yeah, just like a couple months ago, he said, oh, I'm trying to chase the ghost of Chicago, or I'm trying to do this, trying to do that. It's, oh, I have nothing to prove. Oh, I've been the... Because people are saying, oh, is this the best LeBron we've seen? And then he says, oh, I've been the same way since I was 16. No, you haven't. Yeah. You weren't playing like this when you were 16 years old.
You had to
LeBron.
Adapt your play. Obviously, that's why you surrounded these other superstars.
Yeah.
But so, like, there's a reason for him to feel supremely confident right now. He's been spectacular this playoff. But yeah. Like, to say you have nothing left to prove is just so off base, I think.
And that's the thing. Like, what is he trying to say exactly?
I think, personally, I think it's he has nothing else to prove to people in the league that he's the best player in the world right now.
And that I understand. If he's saying that, because obviously there's so much criticism on this one guy about, you know, can he do this? Can he do that? Oh, can he win another championship? Can he? I get if he's saying, I don't have to prove that I can win a championship.
He's talking championships about he got one for his buddies. He got one for Miami, for himself. And then he came back home and won one for his city.
Exactly.
And like maybe he's tapped off. Now he's had nothing else to prove, but he's a great player. But now he's chasing the ghost, perhaps, in Chicago.
That he'll never get.
Yeah, so what does it take? What does it take for him to be the greatest?
Four more titles?
That's
four more
it?
Titles. Well, he's got to retire after the season, go play for the Cleveland Indians.
I think LeBron would be a pretty good baseball player. I think he
probably
be a pitcher,
would.
Though.
Yeah, imagine the Browns. They need it there.
Pinch hitter and all that
have
stuff.
At least sign someone who can just throw the ball to him.
Yeah, he's got to play for the Browns. Yeah, that's exactly.
No, I mean, he's great, obviously, but the thing with Jordan is that he never lost in the NBA Finals, so I don't know if that's going to be topped.
Didn't Jordan get swept in the first round?
Jordan did by the Celtics?
Larry Bird?
The
legendary Boston
Celtics.
The
first round, too. You can see it that way, right?
I know, but was at the beginning of Jordan's career, right?
So was it in the beginning of James' career when he got swept?
It was four years in.
Yeah.
So, into his career.
So it's like...
I get it, but he's lost four. Every time Jordan got to the finals, which you play for. Exactly. That's what you play for titles. You don't play for
different era. Different era. Jordan never had any Warriors to compete with, okay? Like this year, if LeBron loses to this Warriors team, I don't think that means he's not the best player in the world.
No, I don't think at all.
Because this Warriors team might be the best team on paper ever of all time.
Yeah.
Make me an argument.
They got better without Durant somehow.
Maybe like Magic and like Michael Cooper and Worthy back in the day. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe
but
like
you'd have to
Kareem
really look,
Parrish,
it, look
Bird,
through
maybe.
History and like dig
but the 70,
things
the,
out.
The 72 Bulls, the 72 win Bulls, the 96.
I don't think that they're as good on paper as this Warriors team, to be honest.
They were won 72 games.
Yeah, but maybe the competition wasn't as high.
But I don't know. They had too many JaVale McGee's.
I mean, the competition was good in the 90s.
It's hard to compare
the different eras.
Yeah, it's tough.
LeBron is once-in-a-lifetime talent. Like, we're not going to ever see something like that again.
Mm-mm.
But we'll see. What does it take for him to pass Jordan, honestly?
I don't think he can. I think you're right there.
Because, you know, you always got to look. You play for titles. That's how I look at it. You get in. Every kid dreams, you know, when you want to make it to the NBA and stuff, you want to win. You want to win championships. Every time Jordan got to a finals, he won.
But, like,
LeBron has lost four times. Maybe this might be, I don't know, the kid win. It's gonna be a toss-up. Is Golden State better on paper? I think so. They were the better team in the season. They won 67 games. But you never know because LeBron could just go crazy. He has an easier route to this finals every single year. He's more well-rested. He's not even trying right now in the second round. And he can win, but he's lost four times in the NBA Finals. And he's been on good teams other than that 07 Cleveland team. He's been on great teams every time he's lost in the NBA Finals. So,
well, I look at it like we're from Canada, and you know hockey's a big deal up here. And I look at Wayne Gretzky. A lot of people say nobody will ever be better than Wayne Gretzky. Nobody will ever touch this guy's legacy because he's got 1,000 more points than anyone in history. That's kind of what I look at with Michael Jordan. It's a different era. It's not a fair comparison, I don't think.
Because there's probably more talented players in the NHL than Gretzky as far as the skills.
Maybe, yeah. But you can't say for sure, right? I mean, this is why we have shows like this. You can debate and debate. It's fun. Yeah. But, like, you can't... I mean, unless they develop a time machine, we can't go back and say for sure who'd win in their prime, right? It's just fun.
Done.
That's all this is. And LeBron, he fuels the fire and makes people hate him even more.
Yeah.
And so does KD, apparently.
Let's stick with the kind of the Warriors, Cavaliers. Who is the best chance to be 12-0 going into the finals?
Cleveland. Easy.
Oh, yeah. I think I would agree.
Yeah. So who do you think, the Spurs or Rockets could take a win off of?
Maybe even the Jazz. Warriors? I don't think the Jazz would, but they technically still could win a game in that series. Yeah.
Pretty solid couple combos yesterday. That second quarter. The Jazz gave them their best that second quarter, and that was pretty huge to see that come from a young team like that against this Warriors team.
Yeah.
But obviously, Kevin Durant.
They outscored them in that quarter.
Yeah, yeah, by
but
a lot.
You said it so fast, yeah. But like, I still think this is the toughest East we've seen for the Cavs.
But I think we've seen every competitive team in the East show some chinks in their armor. You know what I mean? The Celtics got off to a rough start in the first series. The Wizards got off to a rough start in this series.
Yeah.
The Raptors have been terrible the whole way along, basically squeaking out of the first round. I don't know. All those teams are so beatable, and the Cavaliers are a tank, and I can't see them losing to one of these teams.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But would it be funny if this Cavs team went 12-0 and they get swept in the finals?
I think it would be really funny.
I mean, you never know. They could get swept.
I want that seven games, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
The NBA wants seven games.
Yeah, we all do. Because in this playoffs, like we said earlier, I think that it hasn't been as entertaining.
And last year's final was fantastic.
So mm-hmm. good. 3-1, all that.
Oh,
jazz,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, and game seven was unbelievable.
So, yeah, it's a lot of, there's a lot to look forward to. But off-season stuff, Clippers, what do they do? I really don't know. We didn't really kind of touch on it, but what do they do? We got Chris Paul could sign and be a better point guard on a better team. Or be a better player on a better team. Griffin can go to the Thunder. You know what I mean? JJ Redick can. I don't actually care where he goes. But does Clipper team blow it up? Doc Rivers, maybe GM in Orlando. Like, what's going to happen here?
I mean, Doc obviously.
Is Zingas tweeting at them?
Yeah. Doc obviously says their priority is to bring everyone back, but I think he kind of has to say that.
Of course.
But
if you're the Clippers, what do you do? First move.
Well, like you just mentioned, Kristaps Porzingis tweeted LA Clippers smiley face, smiley face, smiley face, and then deleted it shortly after. So, and what you're hearing from this is there a trade in the works for Porzingis going to the Clippers, and then, you know, maybe Blake Griffin, JJ Redick, someone else heading over to the Knicks?
Yeah.
You got to do whatever you can to get Porzingis if he's available.
Yeah, if you're Doc Rivers right now, you go after that kid any way you can.
Okay.
I was recently saying that there's no way the Knicks get rid of Porzingis, but after this, you never know. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't get rid of Porzingis. I don't care if you want it out. You're under contract. You're on your rookie deal still. Basically, the team owns him
exactly. Because
they have team options. I wouldn't trade him. Right, then he becomes a restricted free agent, so you can match. I would keep him for as long as I can.
And you've got time to fix that relationship.
Yeah, I would keep him for as long as I can. But in the Clippers situation, we spoke about this many times. I think it's time to blow it up, restart.
You're saying beginning of the year, if they'd lost, blow it up.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And they should still do that because they haven't won with this team. They have those three guys, and then they surround them with guys like Wesley Johnson and Brandon Bass, and JJ Redick is good, Jamal Crawford is good, but they don't give you defense. They just give you offense and shooting, right? Paul Pierce is old. He was just there because it was home. It was Los Angeles, and now he's retired. So you got to let him go, and I think maybe San Antonio should look at Chris Paul.
Do you think San Antonio's the best fit for Chris Paul?
I don't think that they can afford him.
No, but they'll maybe make it work. It'd have to cost you Parker, who has 1 year left on his deal, but do you break that relationship up? He's been there forever. He's won titles. He's a finals MVP.
You don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where Chris Paul goes.
I think he stays.
He's a leader of a team. He can go anywhere.
Back to New Orleans?
No, I think maybe just join Utah.
You know what?
Join the team that beat you.
If he stays in L.A., you're never going to have a bigger market. You've got as good of
that's
an
what
owner
I'm saying.
As anyone in the league.
I think he wants L.A.
They can retool around Chris Paul. He's that good.
Exactly.
He can get anyone that they bring in the ball. So maybe they make a push for Gordon Hayward in the offseason if this doesn't work out and they start selling off assets. Chris Paul's the guy that you keep. He's the superstar on that team.
Yeah. I would keep him. I just that if the Clippers come back with the same team again,
yeah,
are we going to take them seriously? Are we going to be like, okay, yeah, they're going to win 50 games again in the regular season for sure, but they're going to have a first-round exit depending on who they face, yeah, or they're going to lose in the second round, which has been... And Chris Paul's been fantastic in the playoffs in his career. He just hasn't gotten to a conference finals yet, which sucks. And he blew a 3-1 lead against the Rockets.
It's like we were saying about Lowry, right? Can you commit to a guy who gets hurt every year leading into the playoffs, and when he gets there, you can't win? Yeah. Blake Griffin's the same thing.
But the difference, exactly. He gets hurt, but the difference between Lowry, I thought you were trying to compare him to Paul. Paul at least has great playoffs.
No. Chris Paul, and there's no comparison. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Sorry, Chris Paul's on a different level.
Yeah, he is. He's the best point guard, true point guard.
I think
John
Wall is
the
only guy that's coming up. He's the next level. Yeah.
Yes. He's still kind of shooty first, isn't he?
No, because he dishes out
a game.
Yeah, he dishes out a lot. Yeah.
He's changed his game. He's been incredible.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
After Paul, when Paul starts getting a little older now.
And John Wall is going to be a mega star in the NBA next year. I think he's going to be an MVP candidate.
Oh, yeah.
You picked him this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm picking him again.
Last question here. Teams that went out first round this year, who has the best chance to be better and try and get it to that second round, maybe even final next year? The best chance. So the teams that went out, Portland, Clippers, yes, obviously, OKC, Memphis, Chicago, Atlanta, Milwaukee, Indiana.
Dibs. I'm going to pick the Bucks. Yeah, just throwing that out there. Pretty obvious on that one. If they get Jabari Parker back and he's healthy by the postseason next Middleton all year. Thon Maker turning into a unicorn perhaps.
Maybe picking up Chris Paul.
Maybe. Yeah. Tall order.
Why don't you like that? No. Why don't you like that?
Because I want Antetokounmpo to have the ball in his hands every second.
You know,
he brings it up himself.
They've got lots of guys.
I want him with the ball in his hands 24/7 when I watch the ball.
Let's be honest. They got Brogdon now, too.
He's the best player on that team.
Yeah.
Brogdon takes pressure off him handling the ball all game. Brogdon is like another point guard, but he's 6'5". He can play defense. He's such a good addition.
Dela Vadova can't really create, but he can bring it up and then give it to
a nuisance.
Giannis, and then Giannis can do it all. I would have to go with either hopefully Portland or OKC.
Yeah.
As my two teams that they can do something next year, depending what OKC surrounds Westbrook with. And Portland, I think Portland can trade for Carmelo, you know?
Plus Nurkic healthy all year.
Go get Melo. You can throw in an Allen Crabbe and an Evan Turner. You can make the money work. They have so much guys making so much money out there. I think they're second in payroll this season in terms of the salary cap. And obviously Carmelo wouldn't be the first. I don't think he would even be the second option.
Yeah. No, he'd be the third for sure. Yeah.
But, you know, Carmelo, with that backcourt, arguably one of the best, obviously, in the NBA, and a healthy Nurkic who passes, who rebounds, who can score himself. I think I would like to see that, but I highly doubt. I don't know if...
I want to say the Chicago Bulls so bad.
Yeah,
but
I don't think they make
playoffs. Yeah, we'll see what happens, but I don't really trust the guys running the show.
Apparently, they want to keep Rondo.
Yeah, which I'll whatever.
Fair,
man,
they could have won the series if Rondo didn't
exactly.
get hurt.
Exactly, Rondo didn't
you
get hurt. The Bulls
for
would be in the second
year
round
just to be like, oh well, I liked him in Game 3. We're gonna keep him.
Yeah. No, I liked him in Game 1 and 2, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, let's give him $10 million.
Well, they own a team option. I think it's $13.4 million.
I take Rondo honestly over Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, at this point, Wade is he's getting to that part of his career. You know,
yeah,
it's more just like an appreciation of a Hall of Famer type thing.
If the Cavs lose in the finals, D Wade's gonna sign in Cleveland.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
Wow.
Okay. Hot take.
Hot take.
Yeah. You know, Dave's been getting his hot takes right, so I just want to throw one out.
If it
happens, we can go back and be like, I said
it. But
they took the three teams that are the obvious. Yeah. Portland, OKC, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Those three teams. Out of the three, I think I'd say Portland, man.
Yeah.
Mainly because of Nurkic. How dominant he was at the end of the season. Having him for an entire season, if they get to keep him, and then Lillard, if they make, and I trust their management, I think they can make moves to get rid of Crabbe, whatever they have to do with the massive salary that they have.
Yeah,
I think Portland is gonna make moves for next season.
Yeah, see, I think you guys got to bang on. I think though, I don't think Indiana makes the playoffs next year. I don't think.
Well, it's kind of too early to say. No, well, depending on.
These are my early guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say Chicago doesn't make the playoffs next year. I say the Clippers don't make the playoffs next year.
Wow.
And so like those, and I think teams like Miami, I think Philly can move up. So like there's some more competition coming up there too. But yeah, pretty much I think you guys got it right when it comes to those teams. And I think Milwaukee would be my number one.
I think the Pacers miss the playoffs next year too after Paul George.
Oh, for sure.
Boots out of town, yeah. For sure.
Let us know who you think is going to have a good offseason or build around their team coming in next year from the teams that we mentioned that got out in the first round. You can get a hold of us by email at the3inthekey@gmail.com, on Facebook at 3inthekey, follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram, the3inthekey, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Radio Network on Dash Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. Check out our website, 3inthekey.ca. For Dave Tripp, Fuad Ahad, Will Macklin, I am Elias Elzain. Peace.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.